This episode is sponsored by Bigger Bash, Bigger City's 25th anniversary celebration in Las Vegas this year, September 6th through September 8th at the Palms Casino. Tickets are on sale now, and we'll hope to see you there.
Hello, and welcome to the Big Fat Gay Podcast, where we talk about the things that are weighing on our minds. I'm Trevor Keyson. I'm a super chub. And today I'm a Monday boy. We're recording on Monday. It's been a long Monday, and I'm ready for Tuesday. Bring it on.
Hi, my name is Michael Willer. I'm a chubby chaser, and I'm Tuesday. Hi, I'm here. But I got here early, so bye.
Hey there, I'm Don. I'm a big chubby guy living in sunny Hollywood, and today I am a well-escaped escape boy. I got to do my first escape room in over a year yesterday, and I had a lovely, lovely time, and I am energized and jazzed and ready to go.
Well, congratulations on making it all the way here. Hi, I'm Dan Oliverio, author, public speaker, and chubby chaser, and today, oh my God, I didn't think Monday could get longer. I feel like I'm halfway through and the sun's almost down. But on we press, on we go.
It's going to be great. It's going to be a surprisingly good episode. I'm calling it now. we're super excited for Bigger Bash that's coming up. They're the sponsor of the episode, and we're going to be there. At least most of us. Don, I think, is still figuring out whether or not that's viable. But yeah, at any rate, there'll be a podcast presence at Bigger Bash. September 6th through the 8th, I believe.
We're looking forward to that. Also, if you're going to Bigger Bash, maybe you need some cute swim trunks or underwear, maybe jockstrap. you can get some bear skin stuff and support the podcast at the same time by using promo code BigFatGayPod and getting 15% off your order. They have cute shorts. It's a new thing. They got pockets. I still love this idea of like fat guys being excited to show other fat guys their shorts and be like, they have pockets.
And as always, a quick thank you to Big Fig for their continuing support of our podcast. We appreciate you being there for us.
And they are currently in the middle of a Memorial Day sale. I believe it'll still be going for a little while after this episode comes out. It is $500 off a mattress. Ooh. So seriously, y'all, like, if you're just thinking about getting a mattress, it's worth considering purely for the freaking scale of that sale.
I know they're a sponsor, but I'll say it again, I freaking love that mattress I've got.
And if you do it through our website, you get we get a little bit of money from that, and you get a great mattress.
We get a kickback. Everybody wins.
Take us into pop culture, Michael.
This is a little bit of an interesting story. It's a little bit of a callback.
Yeah, I like, and I had said People magazine coming out with like fat celebrity news. The winds are shifting, and we're rising up. And there is a story about Delta Burke talking about trying crystal meth for weight loss.
Yeah,
we might want to review who Delta Burke is for those listeners. For our Gen Z listeners. So Delta Burke was a former beauty pageant winner who went on to do a number of really great sitcoms, including Designing Women. And she was often in the tabloids and even some of the more mainstream press because of her weight.
Dun, dun, dun.
Former beauty queen gets fat. Oh my God. And it was just agonizing for everybody.
I do remember back in this time period, though, where she was the butt of every joke.
Oh, fuck yes.
She was the center of every fat article. Like, she was fatness for a little while to a degree that I don't think any of us could even conceive of.
I think it's a good study for like, I mean, because I don't know. I think millennials are kind of split on like their awareness of Delta Burke and Designing Women. But I think it's a good study for, you know, millennials and younger to really see like
the difference,
the marginalization of Delta Burke. Because, you know, we're just kind of now starting to reflect on how Britney Spears was treated. And Delta Burke is such a more extreme example of how really insane Hollywood has treated women and the act.
It was as if Delta Burke could not get any press unless they mentioned how fat she'd gotten. Mm-hmm. Or yeah. that she was trying to lose weight because of how fat she'd gotten. And by the way, has anyone checked Delta Burt's weight? Because look how fat she's gotten.
Yeah.
And, so, you know, regardless of what you think about her, like, it becomes quite a testament to the fact that she had three hit sitcoms under her belt by the time she went into retirement. Mm-hmm. So no one can take that away from her.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's just shocking, like, in this article, her talking about the lengths that she was kind of forced to go through to try and lose weight.
Yeah.
Because she was on several different, like, prescription weight loss, you know, regimens. And then at some point, somebody asked her, hey, have you tried methamphetamine? Which doesn't, at the time, didn't have the reputation and the kind of, you know, popular knowledge that we have of it now.
Mm-hmm. Well, because crystal meth for a long time, I mean, since Judy Garland's day, crystal meth was the go-to weight loss substance for starlets. So, and, like, you know, it's Hollywood's secret weapon.
And according to her, you take it and you don't eat for 5 days.
Well, right.
What a great weight loss strategy.
Well, yeah. I think one detail from the story that I thought was interesting was, like, she was so, like, not a part of the drug scene. She did, not only did she not know what this was, but she didn't want to take it the way that you're supposed to take it, by snorting it and crushing it up. So she put it into her cranberry juice. Like, it just sounds like the most sweet, innocent way to take crystal meth. You know?
Yeah. No, well, there's a quote in the article which is, I didn't want to snort it, so I just put it in my cranberry juice.
And I think it also kind of showcases the current desperation in Hollywood for, you know, these weight loss medications that are now becoming weight loss medications. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, oh, you mean I don't have to put meth in my cranberry juice? I can just inject myself once a week?
Yeah.
It is shocking. I had never heard of Filthy Rich, and now I kind of want to check that out. Because I love Delta Burke, and I would love we just finished watching Golden Girls and The Nanny. So we're looking for a new kind of sitcom palette cleanser.
I gotta say, Designing Women is one of those great shows from the time period who is one of the few that I think can compare to Golden Girls. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, justice for Delta Burke. And I like that she is, still out there, still relevant. This People article is kind of cannibalizing an interview on the Glamorous Trash podcast, which I saw a little clip of on Instagram before I saw this article. So I check that out and support Delta Burke and the host of Glamorous Trash, Chelsea DeVentes.
Yeah.
Taking a left turn. and I have thoughts about this, but in the LA Times, there was an article about TikTok cracking down on content that promotes disordered eating and dangerous weight loss habits.
Oh, yeah. This is such a quagmire.
This is an article by Andrea Chang. And so we were just talking, I mean, was it last week about TikTok starting to give little warnings about, like, consuming content related to body image and weight loss on Instagram. And now they are working to skew their algorithms and shift stuff away from weight loss medications in general. But specifically in the article, they talk about influencers suggesting injectable prescriptions like Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro.
Well, what they're trying to do here, I mean, yes, they're trying to do less harm. So they don't want to push just nutty weight loss stuff and nutty nutrition stuff. They're trying to put a damper on that. But they very much are in favor of trying to get healthy weight loss stuff out there, which does include some of this medication. The other side of this, because if you follow the money, it makes sense. Like, you would want your algorithm to push or to restrict unhealthy stuff, because no one's making any money on that.
I think it's interesting to see, I don't know, TikTok, like, I'm torn because they're stepping up and they're trying to make sure these things are handled in a, I guess, safer way, trying to undo a lot of the damage that has spiraled out from their algorithms. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, just like, I think what would really make a difference for fat people on TikTok is to really do something about bullying and hate speech. And just, there's so much cruelty in the comments on TikTok that, like, I think it's great that they're trying to suppress stuff. Like, they talk about these body checking trends, which I have never seen, but people comparing the size of body parts to household objects.
Because the point of all of these things, whether it's bullying or body checks, is how can we make you feel wrong about your body?
Yeah.
Your wrist should only be this size. Your think should only be that size. And, you know, a bodybuilder has this and you have that. And it's just so many ways to keep you off balance. Cause if you're off balance, you'll keep clicking. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And some of it, so they have the main difference here is that a lot of these policies have already existed for them, but they're now throwing all of these various topics into different categories of either it's acceptable and we'll go into the algorithm, or it's going to be fully taken down and banned, or mm-hmm. it's going to be marked as only available for 18 and older, or it'll be ineligible for the For You feed, but otherwise will be regularly available. So they're trying mm-hmm. to very much mitigate the access mm-hmm. to certain subjects while not necessarily outright banning all of them.
Yeah.
I just think it's so weird. And I think it is especially weird seeing this stuff coming out around the same time of these. The bills going through about the impending ban of TikTok if they are not, it's the TikTok has to sell the American version of TikTok to a company. I think
basically what it comes down to is the bill says that ByteDance cannot be owned by a Chinese company because a Chinese company is really owned by the Chinese government. And so they have sell it. And ByteDance has said, we're not selling our algorithm. And the Chinese government has said, no, we're not letting TikTok sell, which is kind of proof that, yeah, it is owned by the Chinese government. Because it would have to get the Chinese government's approval to sell. Hmm.
I'm watching the way the younger generation is reacting to this. And I'm reminded back to when Hillary Clinton started trying to shut down some of the video game industry stuff. Like, you try and take away our toys, that's when we start getting really, really angry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Generation Z and Generation Next, like, this is their toy. My goddaughter is addicted to TikTok.
Yeah. Well, and they think it's a free speech issue, and it's not. Yeah. It's an ownership and monopoly issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff on the TikTok front. Changes to come. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
To see what may be coming in this space. But in the meantime, while we wait for that, we call the Eagle. Fat Watch 2024. That's right. Today we are actually going to start wandering and flying on the wings of our eagle to the sunny, sunny state of Florida, where all of us are going to be sure not to spend any money.
but I feel everywhere
in drag. You know?
No, but I mean, it should be said that spending money in Florida does help the gay people who live there and have businesses there.
Yeah.
Only if you're spending it in their businesses.
Exactly right.
So this is a feature from Orlando Weekly about the Florida Sumo Club. And this was just like, it's a little article and photo spread, but I thought it was really, really cool.
I loved it a lot.
I got to say, there's a big photo there of this group of people learning sumo there. And it reminded me a lot of the guys that I learned sumo with at UCLA. Like, they could have been like our sister group.
Yeah, that's right. I'm surprised that there's not more sumo activity. It's very difficult, as Trevor found out. It's very difficult to train for sumo. And mm-hmm. I know that we've talked to people who do sumo, and it's just because you have to have a club, and then there's a certain training regimen as far as the workouts are concerned. Yeah. And you kind of have to like train for powerlifting, but lean to the right. It's weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of the subjects of the article pointed out, it's as much about flexibility as it is about
strength. Oh, it's so about flexibility. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why Trevor was so good at it. Mm-hmm.
Well, but when I think it was Justin in the article going into it, like I didn't really have much sports experience going into mm-hmm. sumo. And I think he fared much better than I did initially. The first time I did sumo, I thought I was going to die.
I just remember the first time doing sumo with a group at UCLA. They kind of tried to pair us up by skill levels, right?
Yeah.
And most of the people there were very skilled, right? Like they had like the world women's heavyweight champion was training there, the men's middleweight, the women's lightweight, right? And it was just me and this one other big guy who had never done it before. And they just paired us up, set us in the ring together, and we just grabbed each other's belts and stood there for a long moment trying to move the other one. And it just, it like, didn't even look like we were dancing. It was just two guys holding each other's belt, you know?
I really love, and it's so Japanese, right? Because it's so friggin' simple and very difficult and actually quite elegant in the sense that it is both simple and difficult. Like there's an elegance to the fact that there's really only two rules. And I mean, there are more, but you know, it's as the article says, there's, you win by pushing your opponent out of the circle and you lose by putting any body part other than your foot inside the circle. Mm-hmm. So that's it. Okay. You're done. Yeah. You're done. Yep. That's the rules. That's it. Yeah. And you know me, Michael, that is a huge selling point in a game.
Yeah. Dan doesn't care about a game if it can't be explained in two sentences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 30 seconds is my limit, is my attention limit for the rules. If it can't be explained to me in 30 seconds, I don't care.
I can get a lot of words out in 30 seconds.
Well, in sumo, you can totally explain in 30 seconds and the matches are amazing. I hate sports. And people think, oh, you like sumo because it's fat guys. It's like, not always. No, I like sumo because the matches are so friggin' fast. A 45-second sumo match is a long match.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's sort of a great sport for like ADD.
You know? Yeah, it really is.
And start, and we're done.
Yeah. No, it's like, I remember we were watching a bout and it's like, I looked away at something and looked back. I missed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think something else I really liked about this article was talking, once again, Dustin talking about just, you know, being gay and how welcoming the people he's encountered have been. And it's funny because I was thinking about my experience in like the time I was doing sumo, I didn't get a lot of socialization time. Mm. And I was just like, so, I don't know, focusing on oxygen.
Not talking, breathing.
But I definitely kind of got that vibe that like it wasn't, like it's not that I was in the closet, but it was just like also I wasn't like extremely out. I was mainly just trying to not die.
Stay vertical, but not die.
I just love, I also just like know a bunch of, you know, gay sumo wrestlers. So it's just cool knowing that, that's true, even in Florida, that there is just a very welcoming community there.
I think that should be the next, I mean, gay frontier. Like the next gay frontier should be gay sumo. Mm-hmm.
For me, it was one of the rare experiences I've had. I feel like maybe it's because I'm looking for it, being a fat guy who's always felt like I've been pushed out of sporting areas.
Mm-hmm. So to speak.
Showing up and trying to do sumo for the first time was the first time I didn't feel like I was being treated like I had a disability and was trying to participate.
Yeah. You're right? Fat. You can't play.
Yeah. The people at the sumo place took me seriously and made me work. Right. And they expected me to do the work. There was no sort of like pussyfooting around it. And they were very respectful. Right. And as a side story, so some people might find, the UCLA group helped me get they needed sumo wrestlers for commercials. Ah. So they got me more work than my freaking casting agent did back in the day.
That's commercial great. That's agent great. Did.
Hmm. Yeah. Somewhere out there that I am in a Telemex commercial from the early 2000s. Showing more skin than in any other role I ever had. Wildly uncomfortable, but a great experience.
Excellent.
Well, congratulations to the Florida Sumo Association for your feature. And I don't know, keep fighting the fight, keep slamming each other into the ground. I think that might be the best way to make change.
I'll tell you how to break a dollar.
I don't know. Speaking of making change, the perceptions around the word fat are constantly changing. Hmm. And today we're having a conversation just about the word fat and people's reactions to it and kind of like, I don't know, I guess the current vibe maybe.
So for example, in this one, I talked about coming back at Christmas time. I was trying to take advantage of the airline's persons of size policy. And I think I said on the story, I went up to the attendant at the desk of the airlines. I said, hi, you're like, look, I'm a fat guy. I want to use the fat person seating. And the woman looks at me and goes like, we have no fat person policy at this airline, sir. We just have a policy that those who are worthy receive the seat. And you, sir, are worthy. I was like, all right. But the fact is, I was still corrected for calling myself fat.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm referring to myself in a terminology I have chosen, but I am wrong. Right. Now, so it's interesting. Ever since we started doing this podcast, I started using fat more often, right? That's my default word now. I am fat, right? And there's still some fight back, right? So we've talked about it on the show. Is the word fat being accepted in the mainstream now? Are we allowed to use it? How do you feel about using fat, referring to yourself in a public, chub chaser environment? Dan?
Well, I guess my question is, in that episode you just told us about, mm-hmm. was the gate agent fat?
She was. She was a larger woman, but that's about it. Yeah.
Well, and that's, I would run into that when I would do seminars, is I would use the word fat. And I felt justified in doing that because it is the language of, hello, fat liberation. It's not called Zoftig liberation. It's it's not called big boned liberation.
Husky liberation.
Yeah. So, it's called fat liberation. It's fat, the same way it's queer studies, it's fat studies, which is, in many universities. So that's sort of that's the word, but I would get people saying like, oh no, I prefer when people call me fluffy, or I prefer, whatever they would prefer. And I would be like, yeah. And I would try to encourage them to examine why you can't use the actual word.
I'd like to ask them, is that what the college course should be called? Fluffy studies?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, well, and they're unaware. Would you be able to take that seriously as a scholar?
Well, and that's the thing, because most people, a lot of this stuff is still very esoteric and very hidden behind many layers of social justice lingo. And most people, they only know the word fat by someone telling them how terrible they are, or by describing how terrible someone else is. That's how they know the word fat. That is their only context for it. So yeah, you should stop using it. That's how they think.
I mean, often what I'll do when I'm unsure of like how someone will react, and usually when I'm talking about this, it is about like it is a spatial issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it is either a chair thing, fitting in somewhere's thing, a distance thing, I will, say larger people, whether they're fat or talking about the dimensions of people, if they're taller, like I talk about Dan, being more muscular and just kind of having wider shoulders and stuff, and just how, I'm not comfortable. He's not comfortable. It is just an issue of it is size. Not enough space for someone, regardless of their body.
Yeah. And in that case, I think large is the correct word. Where I think where it gets fuzzy is when you say large, but you only mean fat.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask this. I think I might've just realized that maybe I'm a hypocrite, right? Where I always refer to myself as fat now, but it just occurred to me, like, I would never refer to like the woman at the airline counter as fat. Mm-hmm. I would never say that of her. Right. Choose it to label myself, but I feel like I would never, ever choose it to label someone else.
But do you mean that you would, let's say you're telling a story about her.
Yeah.
I think, I can't remember what you just said. If she said she was fat or large or whatever.
I think I said she was larger, just larger or bigger.
Yeah. And then there's that whole thing of like, well, where's the line? Are they fat or are they just normal? Or are they larger than normal? But that's not fat.
With my thinking, it's about, I'm trying to be considerate of the way they would call it. Like, I would call Trevor fat in public because I know Trevor referred himself as fat. Right. But that's why I would refer to him that
because
way.
Because he refers to himself that way.
Yeah.
It's almost like
I didn't know that was the term you use, I would never use that term for you.
It's turning into like pronouns. It's like, I wanted to say him, but I'm not sure if that's how they identify.
Is that hypocritical of me, or is that, I don't know, maybe.
Not necessarily.
I kind of want to play devil's advocate here for all of the average people kind of listening, going like, what's wrong with saying husky? What is wrong with saying husky? Like, if that's where you're at in your life, why? Like,
because so? I feel like if you are trying to use a pussyfoot word, right? Like if that's not the first, if you use the word husky, if that's your default go-to, I have no issue with it. Right. But if you're talking to me like, yeah, so Don and I were going to go shopping and we're looking for some clothes and we had to find it in the husky section, right? Like if you have to like make it as an addendum, like, oh, I don't want to say the other word, so this is the nice word, then you're making the other word dirtier.
Yeah. Right. And that's really why where the problem exists. When you use a euphemism, you are saying that the actual word is literally unspeakable.
Right.
And we have, how you can tell how unspeakable a word is by how many euphemisms we have for it.
Yeah, no, I get that part. I guess what I'm getting at is it fair to request of all fat people that they take a fat activism stand for themselves whenever they describe themselves?
I don't think that's necessary, but I think, you know, as a fat activist, I feel like I have to make a point. I think especially because just someone who is like very fat or, you know, as a lot of these, programs about educating people about people with obesity that these drug companies are, you know, trying to, these drug companies want people to treat me better because I am living with obesity. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like, I don't think that doesn't bother me as much as overweight, which I feel like is the most common thing people use. And
well, that carries an implicit overt judgment with it.
But you a lot of people don't realize that. And my personal trainer, when I was first getting to know him, he's like, oh, you know, overweight people is like, oh, but is that the correct term? And I said, well, I'm like, I actually have a problem with it because just in saying overweight, you're implying that there is a weight someone should be and that they are over it. And
yeah. And my big thing is when I explain to people, it is impossible to be overweight because you cannot be over your own weight. The only way you can be overweight is if someone has decided that you are the wrong weight.
Yeah. See, Dan, the reason these drugs are so important is because when people get over a certain weight, they collapse into themselves like a dying neutron star.
And then they start pulling everything else around them into it, and it gets bigger and bigger and destroys the whole world.
Well, and what's so horrible is, as you say, they try to make it a disease. There's a lot of money invested in making being fat a disease, that you are diseased people. And so you have obesity, but I think the worst one is some people have obesity, but if you're not quite that, you have overweight.
Oh yeah. Really? Yes. People say that.
Yes. Yes.
You have overweight.
Can I have Zoftig? Cause I actually kind of like the word Zoftig. There's something kind of fuzzy about it.
But I mean, the whole thing is if you're being ironic about it, which is great, but I'm just saying that if there are that many euphemisms, you know that people are uncomfortable with the real thing. Like, how many euphemisms do you know for cigarette? None.
I can think of one, but we're not allowed.
No, nails. No, that's what. No, what I'm saying is there are almost no. I mean, you could find insulting terms, but mm-hmm. you cannot find a euphemism, which is something that makes it sound better than it is. There is no such thing. Because cigarettes are just cigarettes, but mm-hmm. there are at least a half a dozen, maybe more euphemisms for fat because we're not allowed to say fat. It is literally unspeakable.
I want to talk about a recent euphemism, a very au courant euphemism. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, did you all get to see that? Did you click on that?
Yeah, I checked it out.
So there is, you may hear the Gen Z kids skateboarding by. and talking about Big Back or the Big Back trend, which I did not see this trend, thankfully. But basically, Big Back is describing a fat person and how, like, that someone will look so wide in their back that they look uncomfortable. And it's basically describing back fat. Like,
well, and by implication, all fat, you know.
Yes.
Right. And the as an example, like, you might put like a little pillow under your shirt, or like the one I'm looking at it's like a toddler. Mm-hmm. And the caption is, my daughter's back when all the breast milk catches up to her. And they have like a little, they've like sort of padded the back of her shirt to make it look like she has a big fat back. And that's kind of the vibe.
Mm-hmm. Which I find that incredibly horrible, because are you really talking about how the toddler, the child, is drinking too much breast milk and should be careful of getting fat? Like, that's the joke? Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But it's also just kind of like, I think because, you know, obesity is having a moment as a disease. So, like, there's a lot of stuff with, like, big back around food TikTok stuff. Mm-hmm. And I saw today, I don't know, I think because maybe I was, typing in big back, I have been getting all these big back videos on Instagram.
Lucky.
And there was one, it was a woman going through a drive-thru, and it was like I can't remember where it was, but it was a chicken tender family meal. But she's like, oh, like, so-and-so has a big back meal now, with the implication that, like, you're going to eat that family chicken tender,
but, you know,
meal by yourself.
The great thing about social media slang is that it gets invented hourly and goes away in weeks or months.
I think this is going to linger, though, because so going back to the thing about obesity having a moment as a disease, I think this is going to be the new, oh, I'm going to get diabetes just from looking at that.
Oh,
the thing around, like, something is so unhealthy, it's going to give you diabetes, because that's how it works.
How does that?
Look at that milkshake.
I'm sorry, does
diabetes.
That relate to Big Back? I don't understand.
Trevor's is saying Big Back is the new version of that.
Yeah, and it is going to, because
it's the new way to express the same kind of anti-fat sentiment.
We're talking about obesity now, and, like, the stigmas around it. Mm-hmm. There are parallels to how diabetes just kind of consumed culture around food.
Well, and the idea that the definition of fat is diabetes. If you're diabetic, you must be fat. If you're fat, you must be diabetic. They are the same thing. And it's because, see, this is the whole with the healthism thing, that by defining it as a disease, you have to name, well, what's the actual disease? Because, you know, having you can't just fess up and say, I don't like how it looks. You have to associate it with a disease. So you go with diabetes or heart disease, or you figure out something that supposedly, you know, fat people get that apparently no thin person has ever had.
Right. And that's objectively bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you can equate them.
Exactly. I mean, you know, when I was 12 years old, I remember a girl telling me that I was going to die of heart disease because I was fat. I was 12. Jeez. I was 12.
That little girl, she died of heart disease.
Disease was the name of Dan's car.
Oh, if only.
Terminologies are still changing. You know, people are still finding what they're comfortable with.
Well, and I think what we're seeing here is there is an explosion of the use of the term fat because it is part of social justice, and it is also part of just reclaiming a fat liberation. Who doesn't use fat? The pharmaceutical companies, because you can't call that a disease, because you can't sell a product for an identity. You can't sell a medicine for an identity. So they are very invested in keeping it obese, overweight, things like that. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the struggle that journalists are having increasingly. Have you ever noticed that whenever you see an article, that the first thing they say, Jane Doe, who identifies as fat, who calls herself fat, like, they would never just say fat Jane Doe, right? If the journalist would never use the word fat, but they would use the word overweight.
Or who is obese.
Yeah.
Right.
Someone living with obesity.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. They would have no problem with that.
I mean, do we kind of want to wrap this up with, like, so going back to Michael's thing about someone who is not comfortable with fat, about, like, how do you dip your toe into more, I guess, like, politicized body language? Or how do you just start to make friends with fat?
I have an idea.
Yes, Daniel?
pick me. I think the first step, because you can do it on your own, you don't have to engage with other people, is just starting to educate yourself. Where is this word being used in a positive context? And you look at things like fat liberation, fat rights, fat studies, and you just get acquainted with all the places it's being used to not name call, just so you can get it can be part of the context of the word for you. And then maybe another step is using the word with other people who are also fat. So it's not like you're not going to say it to your thin friends, but you're going to use it in the company of other fat people.
Yeah.
And like, and referring to yourself, like, just so you're kind of going to, you're going to try it out. You're going to test drive the word in your own mouth.
And if you don't have access to those sorts of social circles, I would point out that there are a couple of books out there that talk about, like, Dan's The Fat
My
World.
And, The Round World.
I'm sorry. and several other authors that we've talked about on the show.
And Aubrey Gordon's new documentary.
Yes, absolutely.
Read it, but I specifically, I want to hammer the book thing for a moment, because when you're reading a book, you're staying with the subject for a longer time. Mm. The words are being used in your head much more liberally than they are in a documentary or a movie, and for a much longer time period than a movie covers. So if you want to expose yourself to that and do that, and you don't have access to that social circle where you can have it in a first person, get that book. Get that book. It's important for you. To make us feel like it's a part of you.
Don is right. I also have the experience of reading books for me is not what it is for most people, I think. And hearing the word out loud verbally is a lot more helpful for me than reading it. So I would try both and see what works for you.
Yeah.
Because it's not, I don't think there's a one size fits all test there.
And then putting it judiciously into your own vocabulary so that it's not like the unspeakable word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Do we have a tip for the day?
We don't, but I mean, since I just said it, the Aubrey Gordon documentary, it's not by Aubrey Gordon, it's about Aubrey Gordon. Your Fat Friend is available to stream on Jolt.
Jolt, that's the platform?
Yes, and I think that would be a great follow-up to this episode. Or just, I don't know. Even if you're not listening to this episode, you should be watching the documentary. Go back in time.
All right. And so for our bit today, since we're talking about the use of fat in language, we thought we might introduce some more fat language. So today, each of us is going to pitch a new word related to fatness that we think would be helpful in the modern discussion.
I'm very excited about this.
Trevor thinks he's going to win this.
I don't think I should go first.
Since I sent out my sample word for everyone to give you an idea of what I was talking about, I'll lead off. So the word I'm presenting today is serific, right? Serific is a companion word to cherubic.
The
cherubim, seraphim, right? Mm-hmm. So when I was younger and had more of a round face, I was always referred to as cherubic, right? And I never really loved that description. It doesn't make me feel terribly masculine to be described that way. And damn it, I want to be butch. So serific is sort of the upgraded version of cherubic. No. Scratch that. Not upgraded. Side graded. It's an alternate. There you go. Alternate. Thank you. English is hard. Where cherubic is about being sort of rounded and young and innocent looking, I think. Seraphic is about being large and grand and awe-inspiring.
Well, and powerful.
I will say my understanding of seraphic is like biblically accurate angel, like tangle of wings and eyeballs.
It's kind of terrifying, but you know what? I think the original descriptions of the cherubim are not little babies either. So,
That's true. I can get there. I don't see seraphim as being fat, whereas cherubs are almost always fat. But I appreciate that you want to create a contrast to the sort of ineffectual, innocent, fat man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's my pitch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dan, do you have one for us?
I do. I kind of have two, but a listener used this in a few of their emails, and I'm actually unsure whether they invented it, and if not, I don't know, but I love it. So what do you call out in the world, right? So you're trying to describe your taste, and saying chubby chaser is like hitting a speed bump. Even for me, who's been saying the word for decades, you say it to a civilian and it's kind of a speed, I'm a juicer, you know, it's kind of a speed bump you hit.
And run, fat boys, run!
Yeah, exactly. It's not great. Yeah, and in the community chase, in the community, it's pretty standard, but it is a bit of a speed bump when you're using it out in the wild sometimes. And so this listener, proposed a term that I really love called fat attracted. I am fat attracted.
Oh yeah.
The fat attracted people. And it's really, it's simple. Mm. It's only slightly clunky, but only as far as it needs to be to communicate the point.
Yeah. And no more so than chubby chaser.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, and it'll only be about 6 or 7 years before it gets contracted to fat tracted anyway.
Fat tracted. Or fat tracted. Yeah. Which sounds vague.
I have a major fat traction.
Fat traction. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Nice.
I like that.
Well, Trevor, I think we're saving you for the last. So, Michael, what have you got for us?
Yeah, I can. I am not a particularly original person in this particular category, but I also like that. Okay, so there's a 30 Rock episode.
So, Michael, do you like that show? Is that one of your shows?
Shut up. So, and Liz describes a catchphrase on their show, which is the word "pwomp," which I hope the plosives of my microphone pick this up adequately.
Pwomp.
Pwomp. P-W-O-M-P. And she never gets to say what it actually means. She gets interrupted. And she says it's the sound that happens when two fat people, and she makes a motion with her hands. And I think it's basically like two fat people colliding with each other. Now, I think, given the sumo subject of our episode, that this should be a real term that sumo commentators use to describe the pwomp. It was a great pwomp.
It was a highly effective pwomp that Kunishiki used right there in that maneuver.
Exactly. It becomes this like sumo term, and it has, you know, it has oomph to it.
That's right. And I love that it's completely unpronounceable in Japanese.
Yeah.
And Trevor.
Plump. Okay, so there is often the, there's the whole comparison of fat people to hippos.
Yeah.
And because, you know, hippos are just so fat and lazy and they're just lounging around and just blah, blah, blah. But hippos are actually one of the deadliest animals in the world. Mm-hmm. So I want to kind of take hippopotamus and reclaim it as a fat person and around when like fat people problems and just kind of like the type of fat person problem where it's like there's so much you have to explain to someone who doesn't know like how fat people's bodies work or just like isn't familiar with fat people. And so these issues are called you have a potamus.
Oh.
And I want, so it's like, you know, it's like, oh, do you have any armless chairs or something? Or like, you know, maybe something else because like, if otherwise we're going to have a potamus. And I think it is also.
Oh, that wins. Of course it does.
It is to describe when someone is like afraid of like starting shit with a fat person.
Nice.
Or you don't, you want to kind of like be like, buddy, don't mess with me. Otherwise you're going to have a potamus.
Yeah. We'll have a potamus on our hands.
Don't grab the potamus by the tusks, my friend. Do not do that.
They don't have
to. Very nice. I like that one, Trevor. Well done.
That's great.
All right, listener. Do you have a word that must enter into the fat vocabulary? What would it be? Trevor, where could they tell us?
Well, we're on Instagram and Twitter as @BigFatGayPod. We're on Facebook as the Big Fat Gay Podcast. Leave us 5 stars there. Leave us 5 stars or a review on your preferred podcast platform. Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/BigFatGayPod. See the articles we talked about or buy a mattress at www.bigfatgaypod.com. I think that's it.
That was it. That sounded about right.
We did it, Joe.
It's the right amount of time.
Declare victory and depart the field.
Yes. Maybe you are just out in the wild. You're on a speedboat. We're in Africa.
Oh, God. Oh, boy.
Just cut two. And you're just speeding, you're racing through the water. And all of a sudden, a hippo breaches out of the water and it is pursuing you.
Oh no. Okay.
And you've got a potamus in your hands. So
watch out. I got so excited that we said the exact same thing that I forgot to hit the button.